Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37. No, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion and I'm an award-winning writer. So straight up, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? You, the average fan, you know a little bit more. So I will open up the toll-free at the top of each hour just for you. You ready? 1-800-878-7529. You want to join me? You can. 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the more popular text line. You want to text me here in the studio, you can. The text number, 415-532-4867. That's 415-532-4867. We are hours away, of course, from the big fight tonight, Battle of the Mexicans. I'm talking about two-time Mexican Olympian Oscar Valdez. Of course, lost to Shakur Stevenson. No shame in that, but he's a fantastic fighter. Of course, he's taking on Emmanuel Navarrete. What's he like, 34-1, something like that. But Navarrete hasn't lost in a long time, but he didn't look that good in his last fight. I think he got off the deck with Liam Nilsson, stopped him in the ninth round. But at the end of the day, I think Navarrete's peak has come and gone. So we'll see what Oscar Valdez and Navarrete have to say tonight. Of course, that's on ESPN. That and more today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We'll be joined in a minute by the boxing's PhD. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and WBC TV.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical.
800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225. Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
So you just said that until recently you'd never been faithful. So you weren't faithful to Robin either?
Oh, no.
And your second wife, were you faithful there?
No.
Oprah Winfrey putting Mike Tyson on the spot. Were you ever faithful? Not really. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. We take it from the West Coast to the East Coast and bring in boxing's PhD. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer. And how are you today, young man?
I'm doing wonderful, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Let's go straight to the questions. I got a question for you. If the Nevada State Athletic Commission licensed Muhammad Ali in 1980 to fight Larry Holmes, after they sent him to the Mayo Clinic and they asked him to touch his nose with his fingertip, they asked him 10 different times and he couldn't do it, they licensed him. They licensed Errol Spence a few weeks ago after getting tossed out of a car and looking like, looking like somebody beat him 15, 20 times over. Should Errol Spence have been licensed? I mean, if he'd have taken that type of beating in a boxing match, they'd have never given him a license again. Why is the car accident different?
Well, it wasn't his first fight since the accident, but it was probably his first real fight since the accident. So that's always going to be something that people will hang their hat on. That commission wasn't the first one to allow him, to step back into the ring. But, I don't want to take away from Terrence Crawford so much, by blaming the accident.
You have whether you pitched a shutout or not, whether you're Crawford and you pitched a shutout or not, it doesn't matter. It's what you were in there against. He had no reflexes. I looked at it again. He had no reflexes. His coordination was off. He couldn't even get his feet under him.
Then we can open up another Pandora's box, because how come Danny Garcia and Ugas weren't able to do what Terrence Crawford did? They figured if there was going to be some residual effects from that car accident, it would have been more immediate, no?
Yeah, but I'm of the opinion that those guys went in there and sort of played the opponent role. Ugas, not so much, but the other guy, I thought, to an extent. And at the end of the day, I didn't think they tried to test him. I think that, although I thought, physically, I thought he looked better in those two fights as far as his body was concerned and his body language, his body talking to me, than he did for the Crawford fight. I think he died making the weight. I think a lot of things came into play. But the bottom line is, I think the residual effects of being tossed out of a car and having a brain bleed at 115 miles an hour at the same time while you're inebriated, I don't think that's going to be a plus as far as recovery is concerned. I don't think he ever fully recovered. That and the fact he is rumored to have a thirst problem.
I agree with you 100%. I think it was a perfect storm. It was a smorgasbord of things. It was the accident. It was the weight. It's his way of life outside the ring. Also the long layoff. I think it was just a perfect storm. And Terrence Crawford was definitely the beneficiary of that.
Okay. Anthony Joshua is going to do battle today. And let me tell you what happened with the Anthony Joshua deal. They called me on Wednesday. I couldn't get a flight over there fast enough to fight him. That's how desperate they were for a bum, that they were calling me on the phone, 155 pounds, to go over there and fight the 2012 Olympic gold medalist. Anthony Joshua, of course, was he like 24 and 26 and 3, something like that. Of course, the three fights he lost, he got stopped by Andy Ruiz. I mean, if that isn't like, I would have never showed my face on the planet again if Andy Ruiz knocked me out or beat me. I would be too ashamed.
But hey, but you're missing out a part of the story. The only reason they called you Wednesday is because I turned them down on Tuesday.
Oh, okay? Man.
Yeah. You know what? Anthony Joshua, you know, hard luck that his opponent tested positive for PDs again, Dillian White. And it's weird because if you were going to guess between the two who looks like a PED user, it would be between Joshua and Dillian White, you'd probably say Joshua. Joshua looks like he's, you know, carved out of granite. And Dillian White, hopefully he gets the same type of suspension that they gave to, what's his name, Big Baby Miller. Like, he should not fight probably for at least 2 years. It should just go away. He needs to look impressive today against Helenius. You know, Helenius is like on a, I think he fought 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he fought a couple weeks ago in Europe. He's 32 and 4 with 21 knockouts. But of those four losses, which is really the highlight, he's been stopped three times. I think Deontay Wilder knocked him out, Gerald Washington knocked him out, and Johnny Duhapis knocked him out.
Yeah. And Helenius at one point was considered the next big thing. You know, he was like right on the coattails of Vladimir Klitschko. That didn't pan out, but the one thing he's a big guy. He's 6'6". He could punch a little bit, and Anthony Joshua's chin is suspect. And like you and I were talking off the air, he's got to bring it to Joshua. Step on his foot if he has to, and try to land that big shot, and see what Anthony Joshua has left.
Man, the referee would be kicking my ass the entire fight. He would be. You're stepping on this guy's foot. You're stepping on this guy's foot. Well, I wouldn't do it enough to get caught by the referee. But I tell you what, I would wait to the point where I had him right in front of me and he couldn't move, and I would step on that foot to make sure he couldn't move and then throw at that chin. I think that's the way to beat Joshua. Because let's be honest, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports, and this guy's 6'7".
He's a big guy. He's a big guy. You figure he's still in shape because he just fought a couple of weeks ago. You know, he's a dangerous opponent. You know, and it's not necessarily because I think he's that good, but I'm questioning Anthony Joshua. How good is Anthony Joshua? And all the pressure's on him, you know, because he's expected to look good. And, of course, they've been building up, you know, hearsay, a big fight between him and Deontay Wilder. So Deontay Wilder knocked out Helenius in one round. You would expect Joshua maybe tries to do that the same and gets clipped, you know, if he makes a mistake. But he just has to win, and he's got to win by knockout if you want to sell a Wilder-Joshua fight.
Without a doubt. Of course, the when you look at the current heavyweight division, you've got a heavyweight champion who's going to do an exhibition with a MMA champion. Of course, Francis Ngannou and Tyson Fury can hook up for all kinds of money. The fact that, you know, I'm sort of down on this, and then I was up on it, but I'm up on it because Dana White's getting screwed here to an extent, and Ngannou's getting paid 10 or 15 times more than he ever made in one fight defending the UFC heavyweight title. And get this, all of those gates that he had as heavyweight champion were better than $7 million live gates, not counting the pay-per-view.
How can anyone with common sense be against Ngannou getting this type of payday? I mean, he's like you said, he's going to be set for life after this. You know, probably in the neighborhood of about $10 to $15 million. If you want to be down on somebody, you could be down on Tyson Fury because he's kind of hijacking the heavyweight title. But then again, how many people wouldn't do the same thing if they're guaranteed $50 million?
And that's true. And here's what, this is no walk in the park. I mean, people say, he's an MMA fighter, but he can punch, especially with that right hand, and he punches short. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, Deontay Wilder's punches travel a long distance, and they sting and they hurt, and we know that, but they travel a distance. Ngannou's punches are shorter, but they're, I think they might be as equally as powerful.
Well, it's technique. And also, Ngannou has been on ice for a while, so we don't know how he's training. You know, he's obviously used to being attacked, right? He's not some YouTuber. He's a legitimate professional fighter. He did some kickboxing. And some guys pick up things faster than others. So I don't want to disparage Ngannou that he's got no chance. The biggest threat to Tyson Fury is himself, is how lightly he takes Ngannou as an opponent, you know, because we know about his demons outside the ring, and, you know, he's very hot and cold. When he's on, he looks like the greatest heavyweight of all time.
He's a nutcase. Right. Are you trying? Are you trying to be nice? He's a head case. Tyson Fury's a nutcase. I mean, suicide one day, cocaine another. He's back on track one. Come on, he's up and down like an elevator. Let's talk about Jake Paul. Jake Paul is never going to be heavyweight champion of the world. Never going to be cruiserweight champion of the world. Never going to be light heavyweight champion of the world. And last week, I thought, although he beat Nate Diaz over 10 rounds, who the hell is Nate Diaz as a boxer?
Nate Diaz as a boxer got some fame because he sparred Andre Ward a long time ago, right? Mm-hmm. That's, you know. And Nate's, you know what? That's another same situation as Ngannou. How can we knock Nate Diaz when he got paid allegedly $10 million for that? You know, so biggest purse he's ever made, bigger than all his MMA purses combined. So props to Nate Diaz for, you know, securing that bag. Jake Paul, you know, some people hate him.
No hate like involved with Jake Paul. Jake Paul looked fat last week. I mean, he looked like he was 3 or 4 months on the positive side.
He did. He looked very first time he looked chubby. You know, and he's normally, him and his brother are just natural athletes, but he definitely looked chubby. It was at the cruiserweight limit, I believe. He didn't look great. He dropped Nate Diaz, but he couldn't take him out. Now, props to him, because at least on tape, he verbally committed to meeting Nate Diaz again in the octagon. So he's definitely putting his money on the line and his nuts on the line, you know, stepping in with Nate Diaz.
You said he was a natural athlete. So a natural athlete. Oh, yeah. The Diaz brothers are definitely natural athletes as well. Now, Jake Paul, would he be more of an athletic supporter?
No. No, those guys are good. I mean,
did that go over your head? It didn't, did it?
No, I caught it right the warning track. I think, look, they found their niche. The one thing that I really appreciate about Jake Paul is that there are kids, 13, 14-year-old, you know, who follow this guy that are talking about boxing. But, you know, if it's just for that reason alone, I'm happy that Jake Paul is in the sport.
That and the fact Daniel in the other room noted today, of course, he's paying people. People are getting paid. Amanda Serrano is probably going to retire right now because of Jake Paul.
Yeah, 100% correct. Absolutely.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about, of course, tonight's ESPN clash. Wow, Oscar Valdez and Emmanuel Navarrete, the Battle of Mexico at 130 pounds. What's going on? Of course, Navarrete, at one point in time, I thought he was like a stud. But as of late, I think he's got a little bit soft. We'll talk about that and more on Ring Talk Live Worldwide after the break.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Problems putting earphones in your ears. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside looking world of boxing and MMA. Of course, tonight on ESPN, the Battle of Mexico. Emmanuel Navarrete defending 37-1, 31 KOs, the 130-pound title against the former champion Oscar Valdez. I think he's 31-1, 23 KOs. Sock, what gives here?
I think we're set up for a really entertaining and interesting fight. Emmanuel Navarrete, who has been really under the radar, one of the most exciting champions of the last few years. Hasn't looked great the last maybe two times out. He's looking to make history. You know, as a three-time world champion, joining the likes of Marco Antonio Barrera, Eric Morales, Juan Manuel Marquez, Julio Cesar Chavez, and Canelo. So there's a lot on the line here. And Oscar Valdez is defending the WBO, and it's a... the vacant WBO title. He's looking to stay relevant. It's got all the makings of a firefight. You know, two contrasting styles. Navarrete throws uppercuts from his ankles, and Valdez is the quality fighter. He's a very classy fighter. He throws good shots, good footwork, but he's shop-worn. You wonder how much he has left.
Guys that throw uppercuts from their ankles, listen, I'm thinking straight right hands or jabs. I look at the last two fights. I think he got dropped by Liam Wilson in one round, round four. Yes. Came back and stopped Nelson in the ninth. But all in all, Navarrete, I think we've got the classic example of a guy that's got a few bucks. Do you know what I mean by that? In other words, he's soft.
He may have some, you know, when he first burst on the scene, he was a big junior featherweight. You know, at 122 pounds, he looked like a killer. He destroyed Isaac Dogbe, that put him on the map on ESPN. Then he has run through guys, and he kind of hit a wall. You know, he wasn't great against Joette Gonzalez. And then, like you mentioned, before he got dropped, yesterday he had to strip down to make the weight limit. So that's kind of like maybe a red flag. He doesn't have the greatest physique. You know, but the guy has one thing. He has a motor that he doesn't stop coming. And Valdez has to discourage him early. I think the fight with Miguel Burchelt is something that I think you could draw a parallel. Valdez was the superior fighter, and he took it out of Burchelt early. I don't think Navarrete is that type of fighter, though. I think Navarrete, you have to be ready for 3 minutes in each round. So I think it's a really, really good fight.
Joette Gonzalez, probably the best fighter I think he's beat. He's 26-3. He was 24-1 at the time. But bowing, and when he stopped Burchelt, and then he bowed down to him during in the ring there, that was probably one of the most greatest things I've ever seen in my entire life as a boxing fan or a follower of the sport. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, he knocked him out ugly.
No, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about after the fight when the guy was sitting on the stool, Burchell's sitting on the stool afterwards, and there's Oscar Valdez on his knees trying to comfort the fallen champion. I thought that was show more compassion I've ever seen in a long time out of any fighter.
No, Valdez is all class. I mean, you know, he about 2 years ago after that win, I was raving about him. Then, you know, he had the PED test issue. He was still allowed to fight. Then he didn't look good against Consejo. And then getting dominated by Shakur Stevenson.
Owned.
But Oscar Valdez, but Oscar Valdez, he's always been a classy guy. You know, you never hear about him, any issues outside the ring. Great amateur pedigree. He's someone that I like to watch. You know, and he's fighting a guy that's completely different style than him. So it makes for good TV, I believe.
Okay, so what's going to happen?
Well, I'm picking Navarrete, and I think if anyone's going to put a couple of dollars on this, he's a +150. You know, and Valdez is at -175. I think he's a live underdog, Navarrete. So I'm picking Emmanuel Navarrete late. I would say anywhere between the 10th to 11th round. I think it's going to be a firefight, and I would not be surprised if this is the first of a trilogy. I think it has that type of making.
Well, so it's like Barrera and Morales?
Barrera Morales, Israel Vasquez and Rafael Marquez. That, you know, every once in a while you get those, you know, these Mexican fighters, they get together. It's a perfect combination, right? It's good chemistry. And if you look at, what happens to the winner afterwards, I don't think it gets any better than what they have in front of each other. I think they would probably make the most money fighting each other. And if they could build this into a trilogy, Top Rank is very good at making money and making stars. It makes sense. You know, obviously this isn't scripted, you know, but so everything, whatever I'm saying, you know, goes out the window, depending on what happens tonight. But I would not be surprised. I think they're on the same level. And I definitely think that they're going to be fighting more than once.
Okay, you're talking about
a hunch.
Earlier, we're talking big money. Of course, Juan Manuel Marquez turned down $50 million to come back and fight Manny Pacquiao. $50 million. What does that say about Marquez? Is he stupid, or does that just show the bottom line is I wasn't going to get burned again because he got burned like two or three times?
I think Juan Manuel Marquez has made a lot of money, number one. Number two, very similar to Joe Frazier and Ali, he hates Manny Pacquiao. He is a jealous man, and whenever he gets a chance, he dogs Manny Pacquiao.
Really?
So there's that also. Yeah, and also, let's face it, that historic knockout of Manny Pacquiao, which is one of the most devastating, brilliant knockouts in the history of the sport, Juan Manuel Marquez was on his way to going out himself, so
very close.
I think it's a
he
lot.
He was extremely close to the edge. He was standing on the edge of the cliff of death.
Yes, and he pulled out a right hand, and like, you know, the great Roy Jones said, he's not getting up, Jim. that might have been one of the greatest calls of all time, you know. So, you know, props to him. He has stayed away. Then again, maybe he's a fool because he rejected another fight, and then he got schooled by Tim Bradley for like half of what he would have made.
Okay.
Right?
Showtime's got Emmanuel Rodriguez and Mel Lopez going tonight. Melo Lopez going for the IBF 118-pound title. Why should we watch Showtime tonight? Is this a good fight?
I think it's a good fight. Even if you don't catch it live, at least, you know, watch it on the stream afterwards. Melvin Lopez from Nicaragua and Manny Rodriguez, Puerto Rican, is one of the vacant titles left behind by Inoue. They seem very evenly matched. Both have been stopped. So it makes for good TV. You know, I think the bantamweights throw punches. So if you like action, if you get tired of seeing the plotting heavyweights that you're going to see this afternoon, you tune over to the bantamweights. You're going to be throwing leather. So okay. I think it's an interesting fight. And Gary Russell Jr. is Antoine Russell Jr. is on the co-feature.
Wow. You mentioned Inouye, of course, 122 pounds now, stopping Stephen Fulton pretty easily a few weeks ago. Were you surprised he was able to roll through Fulton like he was?
I was. I was surprised. I didn't realize how dynamic of a fighter that man is. I mean, he took the fight in the middle of the ring. He was faster. He was obviously stronger. He fought with swag. Fulton looked like a deer in headlights. And by the time he kind of got into the fight, it was kind of too late because the confidence of the monster was just too much. And then when Fulton started to open up, that's when it was a wrap, you know, and he caught him with a beautiful shot. The referee mercifully stopped the fight. What can you say about Inouye? He's a bad man, you know, probably the second best fight in the world.
Okay. Jared Anderson and Andriy Rodenko going August 26th on ESPN. Is that something that I should tune in for?
It's, you know what? It's good that you're seeing Jared Anderson busy. That's, you know, and he stays fresh in your mind, right? He didn't look great his last time out, so they're bringing him back. And there's actually a card filled with some heavyweights. The guy from, I'm going to butcher his name, but from Kazakhstan, who beat Richard Torres, knocked him out ugly in the amateurs. He's on that card. So I think it's, if anything, it gives you that preview of the next generation of heavyweights. It's a good card.
Straight up. Sock, you have a good week. Kiss the kids, hug the wife.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate your time.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Every piece of land has a story. Some right there is behind the wheel of a John Deere 1 Series tractor, like the Upshaws.
This is my tractor, Penny. It's all about attention to detail.
But the Nelsons love cruising around their expansive Montana ranch in their John Deere Gator UV.
We've been here since 1868.
While the Caggianos drive a John Deere zero-turn mower to keep their Long Island brewery looking sharp.
Don't call me, don't bother me. I'm going out to mow for a couple hours.
Run with us and start telling your story. Learn more at johndeere.com/radio.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks, like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. That's 800-617-5145.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Can I just
go for
give
it?
You one postscript. After that fight, I thought of something the great sports writer Red Smith once wrote. If you want to find out who won a close fight, ask a 9-year-old kid.
The epic words of the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant, of course, talking about the professionals scoring professional boxing. Of course, boxing is broken down into four criteria. The criteria of boxing is broken down into four different departments. Bottom line is clean punching, effective aggressiveness, ring generalship, sort of like who's controlling the action, and defense. Of course, usually ring generalship, defense, and all that kind of, it's all about clean punching. Whoever lands the clean punches usually wins the fight. And it's usually not that hard. I mean, you sit there, boxing's in a squared circle, it's on television, it's right in front of you, you know what I'm saying? You get, especially if you're watching on TV, you get all kinds of different angles. It's not hard to figure out who dominated that round by landing the harder punches. I mean, when you look back at boxing history, of course, it's riddled with horrible decisions, rip-off decisions, robberies, call them what you want. Of course, Carlos Zarate and Lupe Pintor back in 1979, that was pretty bad. Of course, Oscar De La Hoya and Felix Sturm, of course, that set up the Oscar De La Hoya-Bernard Hopkins fight. Of course, that was already in the planning. But Sturm came over from Europe, and he beat De La Hoya pretty good over 12 rounds, and they didn't give it to him. Of course, one of the worst rip-offs of the past 15 or 20 years. I mean, and people say to me, bad decisions, they're going to happen in boxing. They don't always have to happen in boxing. If you got competent judges, they don't happen that way. Because let me tell you about this. Cuyo Martinez was the manager of Carlos Zarate. Zarate was going to leave him right after this fight with Lupe Pintor in 1979. Of course, Pintor would go on to be the 118-pound champion, step up to 122, and get stopped in a memorable fight in 14 rounds, of course, on the Thomas Hearns, Wilfred Benitez underguard by Wilfredo Gomez. But Lupe Pintor, for all his might, I mean, he was in a bad spot because they gave him the fight, a fight that he didn't win. And the reason why they gave it to him is that Cuyo Martinez managed both guys. But Zarate was leaving him, but Pintor wasn't. So guess what? Pintor won the fight. Of course, the scoring was horrendous. It really stuck really, really bad. But then again, at the end of the day, it sort of ruined the career for Carlos Zarate because here he was in the 10th defense of the WBC 118-pound title, one of the greatest champions of all time as far as a bantamweight score. I think he went 66-3 with like 62 knocks. 66-3 with like 62 knockouts. I mean, that's how bad a dude this Carlos Zarate was. And for him to get screwed by the boxing establishment or Cuyo Martinez pulling a fast one, however you want to put it, he didn't fight for a long time, and he came back a few years later, and of course, he lost to Jeff Fennec and Daniel Zaragoza, both by stoppages. But outside of that, I mean, that ruined his career. A bad decision ruined Jeff Fennec's life. Jeff Fennec, of course, caught Azuma Nelson, I think it was in 1989, on the Riddick Bowe, one of the Riddick Bowe Evander Holyfield undercards. I think it was one of the Bowe undercards. Anyway, bottom line is, are Tommy Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard. So anyway, Jeff Fennec fights Azuma Nelson. They go 12 rounds. Jeff Fennec beats the brakes off of Azuma Nelson. The great Azuma Nelson, the Hall of Famer that he is, but he got that brakes beat off him that night. I mean, it wasn't even close. At the end of 12 rounds, I think I had it like 8-4 or 9-3, and I'm saying to myself, you know, Jeff and I were partying before the fight. I don't mean partying like booze and that kind of good stuff, but we were hanging out before the fight, doing press conferences and that, so I figured after the fight, I'm going to have total access to Jeff Fennec. So I'm watching him win here, and I'm saying to myself, man, this is going to be great. And then they called it a draw. And people say to me, oh, well, it was only a draw. They didn't screw him. He didn't lose. He lost. Jeff Fennec lost because Fennec was never able to get himself up emotionally again. And what I mean by that is that emotional height that he was at, beating Azuma Nelson that night, he was never able to equal that again, never couldn't do it again. And bottom line is, of course, later Azuma Nelson said he had malaria and some other type of illnesses and this kind of stuff that contributed to his poor showing. But the bottom line is Fenech beat the brakes off him that night. Of course, then they did a rematch or a second fight down there in Australia. And you know, I mean, it was the end of his career. I mean, it just was. I mean, Fenech was a monster at one point in time, but that one loss, and yes, it was a loss, even though it was a draw to Azuma Nelson, that screwed him up for the rest of his life. He said he got involved with cocaine and things like that. Bottom line is, when you get screwed like this, and I can't explain it to a boxing fan any clearer than this. If you've ever played 21 or blackjack in a casino, and you get the king and the ace, and you say to yourself, I got $500 down here, man. I'm going to get 2.5 or 3-1, whatever this blackjack's going to pay in this casino. I'm going to get paid, and this and that. And then the dealer overturns a 17. You say, I'm still getting paid. No. Wait a minute. The dealer gets the money. Wait, what are you trying to tell me? How could the dealer win with 17? And win? Well, that's what it's like when you get screwed in a professional boxing match. I mean, a couple of times, remember my first Golden Glove title fight? I fought Mike Christie. Mike Christie's a hell of a fighter. Mike Christie throws 1,000 punches around. That's what he's known for, throwing a lot of punches, okay? So anyway, I fought him, and I thought that I won clearly, but they took away 2 points. Marty Salmon was a referee, and he took away 2 points. Now, to show you how crooked boxing is, Marty Salmon, I got him drunk in 1992 in Malaga, Spain, at a WBC convention. I got him drunk, and he told me that the Golden Glove tournament director told him not to let me get away with anything, that if I did anything, to take away points. And they took away 2 points. It was a 3-2 split at the end. In other words, the fight was even after 3 rounds, and they gave it to Mike Christie. Props to Mike Christie. I'm not trying to say it was that bad of a robbery, but it affected me, because the next time I fought was against Herbert Myers. And what did I do? I put Myers in the hospital. Herbert Myers woke up in the ambulance after he left the Alameda High School gymnasium, which we held the Golden Gloves back in 1982. But he left the arena unconscious. He woke up in an ambulance. The next night, I knocked down Keith Rucker 12 seconds into the fight. Of course, broke a bone in his face, retired him. I mean, I was not going to be denied my championship after they denied me the first time. It was a motivation I've never, ever had before. And guess what? I've never been able to attain that height again as far as boxing was concerned. Yes, I won the 83, I won the 84, I went to the Olympic trials, I come back and won another Golden Glove title later on after getting hurt. But the bottom line is, none of those championships, none of them counted really as much as that first one when I sort of got burnt. I mean, winning the second title, winning that second attempt against Keith Rucker, of course, going 4-1 in Golden Glove title fights, but winning against Keith Rucker was an extremely emotional time because of the fact that Rucker was a promoter's guy. Don Chargan sent a guy there. Forum Boxing sent a guy there. Everybody came to see Keith Rucker. And my mother, being the antagonist that she was, an antagonist, this old white lady, Norwegian lady, antagonist that she was, okay, she came in the dressing room and said to me, guess what? There's all kinds of press guys out here and media guys out here and promoter guys out here. And she goes, they're not talking about you. Whoa. That's why Keith had to go. Keith held on for 3 rounds. Of course, he was lucky to make it to 3 rounds. I remember Brent Venegas warned me in the third round that if he didn't let go of me, he was going to disqualify Rucker, okay? And I butted him. I mean, the dirtiness in me, yes, it was a little dirty, but the bottom line is, you know, you're frustrated. Guys holding on to you like an octopus. I mean, you're trying to shine. This is your time. This is your time to shine. He's trying to deny you of it. So the bottom line is, when you get denied like that, you know, you look back, you say to yourself, it's not going to happen again, and I never let it happen. So when you're a championship fight, you realize that don't let it go to the judges. Even though all my title fights went to the judges, try not to let it go to the judges. So be as dominant as you can in order so they can't say no. I remember one time I knocked the guy down in Tucson, Arizona, knocked him down the first round or the third round. I mean, I did bolo punches on him. We were in two different classes, two different leagues, and they gave him the fight. I'll never forget that silver medal. They wanted to give me a silver medal for this tournament. I stepped back. The silver medal, if the ring was still standing in Tucson, Arizona, that ring would still be, I mean, the gold, silver medal would still be sitting there. It was the most atrocious thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was a World PAL Games. I'll never, and cops are supposed to be clean? No. The World PAL Games were like the most, of all the boxing competitions I was in, the Police Athletic League and the Police Olympics were the crookedest. Now, how can I say that? I was a California champion. I was a U.S. champion. I know what I'm talking about. This stuff was crooked. I mean, they took me down to Tucson, Arizona to fight the World Games, okay? And I've got this guy that's weighing, he's supposed to weigh 147 pounds, but he doesn't weigh in. I said, wait, wait, we're at the weigh-in. I'm on the scale. I said, put him on the scale. Oh, he already weighed in. What do you mean he already weighed in? What do you mean? You can't weigh in without me being here, me and my team. Well, he weighed in already, and the guy's drinking sodas. The guy was about 160 pounds, and this is where they put it. This is where the cops tried to put it. Cops were chicken spit with an H. Okay, are you scared? Is the guy from Frisco scared? That's the way they put it to me. When they put me in the ring with, I can't remember his name now, but he was 12-4 as a professional, and he had 16 pro fights in the Police Olympics. It was the Los Angeles Sheriff's Office, or Sheriff's Department, whatever it was. They put this ringer. I shot him at the weigh-in, I saw the scar tissue over his eyes. I said to myself, whoa, something's going on here. And then I called the athletic commission, and later that day, it turns out the guy's a professional fighter, had a license for 12, or like I said, 16 professional fights. So anyway, I went to the commission there, or the people in charge of the Police Athletic League, and they said to me, are you scared? I mean, that's the way the cops did you. Are you scared? And I kicked the snot out of both those guys. So, no, I wasn't scared. Let's go back, of course, to the upcoming boxing schedule. ESPN Plus, August the 26th, of course, the World Heavyweight Champion of the Minds of the WBO, the IBF, and the WBA. I'm talking about Oleg Usyk. Mm. Undefeated lad, no doubt about that. Of course, he beat, God, you know, I mean, what's the... He didn't beat Tyson Fury, so he's not really the heavyweight champion, or is he? Of course, he's got the belts, but it's sort of like being the heavyweight champion with an asterisk next to it. Of course, Tyson Fury's got the WBC belt. He's got the linear world heavyweight title. He's recognized as a world heavyweight champion by Ring Magazine. Oleg Usyk's got the belts, and evidently the belts are going to get him paid against Danny Dubois, of course, defending those three belts, August 26th on ESPN+. Also on the 26th on ESPN. On ESPN, one will be on ESPN+. The Oleg Usyk Dubois will be on ESPN+. On regular ESPN, if you don't have ESPN+, Jared Anderson, of course, the aforementioned Jared Anderson, the undefeated lad, that Larry Merchant so high on, taking on Andreino Radenko. Evidently, it's a make-time fight. Of course, September 2nd on pay-per-view from the UK. I don't know why they would put this on pay-per-view, but the bottom line is, I guess they can sell it. Liam Smith taking on Chris Eubank Jr. in a middleweight bout. It'll go September 2nd. Of course, that's on pay-per-view from the UK. So as far as going to the – I don't think the cable companies and promoters should be going to the well as far as pay-per-view money too often. I just don't think so. I think that maybe three or four times a year is a good time to go. Because Dana White goes every month. I mean, Dana, of course, the worst person in the world – no, the second worst person in the world. The worst person in the world is Johnny Salmonella. But the bottom line is Dana White, of course, the pimp that he is, as I mentioned earlier, get this. Ngannou sold out an arena for $7 million. The pay-per-view did somewhere in the neighborhood of $80 to $100 million, and he got paid about $500,000. I mean, that's what Francis Ngannou was making. And you wonder why he despises Dana White? You wonder why Dana White's like the worst person in the world, the second worst person in the world today? You wonder why? I mean, come on, man. If ever it was a guy, and here's what's up. You see these guys afterwards, you know, boxing is ugly. But what I learned from Jose Suleiman, the late president of the World Boxing Council, what I learned from the Godfather was that, you know, you take care of your own. I mean, he took care of a lot of fighters. When I was with Kid Gavilan, the Cuban star down there in Miami, of course, he was from Cuba. But he was telling me that Suleiman was paying his rent. I said, what do you mean he's paying? He goes, without Jose, he goes, I wouldn't eat. Jose takes care of my food. And I was blown away by that. And then I found out there were a couple other fighters that Suleiman was paying for as well. So I didn't go into depth, but evidently there was a list of fighters that Jose Suleiman paid for every month, either their way, their food. He sent them little checks. I thought he was the greatest guy on the planet. I really miss him. You know, he's been gone a while now. And, of course, people say to me, well, Mauricio Suleiman is, you know, his son, and he's taking over the World Boxing Council. He's doing a good job of this and that. But there is no Jose. The Godfather is one good, the one, the only, without a doubt. I really miss him. May he rest in peace. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Emmanuel Rodriguez and Melvin Lopez, of course, today on Showtime for the IBF Bantamweight title, and Joshua and Helena going, I believe, as I speak. Of course, that's on The Zone. And then ESPN tonight, Emmanuel Navarrete and Oscar Valdez. Good Saturday of boxing.
Where people ain't true.
If you served in the Marine Corps, by now you know about the contaminated water problem at Camp Lejeune. If you were stationed or worked at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1987, you probably have a lot of questions. We have some answers. You could be entitled to compensation.
billions of dollars are being allocated to pay for damages to anyone stationed at Camp Lejeune during that time. Unfortunately, it appears that officials may have known the contaminated water problem existed and did little to protect their men. The Semper Fi Code was not honored. If you or someone in your family has developed a serious illness, including various forms of cancer, call this Camp Lejeune legal support line right now. You can't turn back the clock and change what happened, but you can certainly call right now and learn your rights as a Marine. Here's the number.
800-725-1651. 800-725-1651. That's 800-725-1651. Paid for by Legal Alert Line.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin three or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Come to you on Veev TV, of course, and WBC TV. Of course, we come to you via the World Boxing Council. Check us out, of course, each and every Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide on WBC TV. Of course, the Saturday edition today is 1 hour. The Sunday edition is 2 hours. On tomorrow's edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the Sunday show, we expect to bring you, of course, a new guy. We've got a new guy coming on. We'll talk about that in depth tomorrow. I'm going to be surprised there. Of course, the retired HBO Godfather Larry Merchant has committed to tomorrow's show, so he'll be here as well. Jake Stitch Duran, I was going to press him on, of course, on the Nate Diaz and the Nate Diaz-Jake Paul thing. Of course, he worked the corner. We'll talk about it. Maybe try to get him to go in depth on that. But Jake's got some other issues I want to talk to him about. Of course, he knows about CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, of course. And I've had problems saying that. As long as I can say it, I guess I don't have it. But the bottom line is, it's a tough word to say. I'm talking about CTE, which is brain damage, and people get brain damage in contact sports, both boxing, MMA, football, hockey, soccer, I can go on and on. But in each sport, of course, there's a danger level. You know, I mean, bottom line is MMA is probably the worst, at 300% more likely to get CTE than a professional boxer, according to Canadian medical officials. If you're an NFL player, you're probably 200% more likely to get it than a boxer. If you're a boxer, you know, you're probably at a risk to get it without a doubt, but not all boxers get it. Obviously, some guys take hellacious beatings over their careers and don't end up punch drunk. I don't get it. I mean, but then again, you get guys that catches up with them at the end. George Chavallo, guy never got knocked down. He took Muhammad Ali's best punches, took Joe Frazier's best punches, took George Foreman's best punches. I think he even fought Shavers. I mean, he fought all those guys, right? Never got knocked down. Now he's got some issues with as far as neurological and the residual effects of professional boxing have come back to haunt the great George Chavallo. So what I'm trying to tell you is that it's ugly. I mean, the NFL, they tested 112 players. Out of 112 players, 111 guys had CTE. Imagine that, 111 of 112. Guess who the guy was that didn't have CTE on the NFL status? The punter. He never got hit. He was a kicker. He never got hit. The other guys, 111 of 112 guys had CTE. So what I'm trying to tell you is that I'm not trying to like be down on contact sports or anything like that. What I'm trying to tell you is that there comes a time when everybody should realize that, you know, we don't need to go any further. I've done enough here. I mean, I can't push my body any further. What about your mind? I mean, but then again, for this to happen, if you have this meeting of the minds, you've got to have a good team behind you. A lot of fighters don't have good teams. And that's why at the end of the day, I say to myself, who's your manager? When I see guys that are busted up, who's your manager? I always ask that, who's your manager? Because at the end of the day, he is the one that faces the real responsibility for the fighter, the manager. Straight up, this has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, WBC TV airs on the Facebook page of the World Boxing Council. Saturday and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, that's 2 p.m. Eastern time. A shout out to my producer, Daniel Ogden, of course, the people down there in Dallas, Texas, Daniel Jackman and Double J, John Jackman. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. If you didn't know it by now, what can I say?